Blog Talk Radio.
More and more passengers seem to be getting off the Blake Bortles bust bus, but is that the proper adjustment to your travel plans? Welcome to the AFC South preview edition of the Fantasy Flex. And welcome to another installment of our 2016 Divisional Previews. This time on the Fantasy Flex, it's all things AFC South. I am Nate, over on Twitter, at @Miller_RotoDad. Brad, where can the Fantasy Football Fanatics find you?
They can follow me at UGA Good on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, let's get straight to it. Blake Bortles, a bust? The guy threw for 35 touchdowns, second in the NFL in a four-way tie, one behind the great Tom Brady. 4,428 passing yards was seventh in the NFL. On the negative side, 18 interceptions led the league, as well as the 51 sacks he took, getting a beating back there in the pocket. Brad, is Bortles a bust like so many think?
I think he has a good chance to be a bust, given where he's being drafted. I think he's definitely going to see some touchdown regression. Blake Bortles threw the ball 606 times last year, and a lot of the points that the Jaguars scored was in garbage time and when they were trying to catch up. Bortles actually led the NFL in red zone attempts with 96, just ahead of Aaron Rodgers at 94. Another crazy stat. Since 1984, there have been 31 instances in which a quarterback has thrown for more than 35 touchdowns. Only three quarterbacks that threw 35-plus touchdowns were able to throw more touchdowns the following year. Peyton Manning from 2012 to 2013, Tom Brady, and Brett Favre. That stat doesn't inspire much confidence in Blake Bortles' ability to throw 35 or more touchdowns next season. So I definitely think there's going to be some touchdown regression.
Okay. Let's clarify a bit. Me personally, I don't think Blake Bortles is a bust as in terms of an NFL quarterback on game day. As far as fantasy goes, yeah, I'm with you. I see touchdown regression. We'll get to a big reason for that down the road in just a few minutes here. Where does he fall in your current quarterback rankings?
I've got him just at 10, rounding out my top 10. I still think he's going to be productive. I just don't quite see him reaching the same numbers that he put up last season. I've got him at 4,000 passing yards for the season with 30 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, adding in about 300 rushing yards and maybe a rushing touchdown. So got him right at number 10 in my rankings.
Yeah, and he's working with two wide receivers who both made some fantasy owners happy last season. These two guys, he threw well over half his yards to, well over half his touchdowns. The Allens, Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, can they repeat what they did last season?
I don't think they're going to repeat. I think along with Bortles' touchdown regression, you've got to see regression, you know, with the wide receiver weapons. Allen Robinson caught 14 touchdowns on 80 receptions while racking up 1,400 receiving yards. I definitely see some regression there. And both with Hurns, too, who caught 10 touchdowns. Their touchdown numbers are going to come down a little bit. I've got Allen Robinson projected still at double digits. I think he's going to get right around 10 touchdowns. And Hurns down at 5. So I don't see them repeating their stellar numbers from 2015.
Yeah, that would be cutting Hurns' touchdown total in half. Let's get to that reason I alluded to earlier of why I think the Jaguars passing game will become a little less prolific in the red zone, and that's the addition of running back Chris Ivory. This guy's a 220-plus pound downhill bruiser, and he's probably going to see quite a few red zone carries, and that is my personal main reason why I see the regression coming from Bortles and those touchdowns and those wide receivers in the touchdown department. What do you think about Chris Ivory and what's his prospects for the season compared to other running backs around the league, Brad?
Yeah, both Chris Ivory and Julius Thomas, I think, will factor into that touchdown regression for Blake Bortles. With Chris Ivory, you know, particularly, he's an injury risk. He only missed two games in the 3 years that he played with the Jets. But before that, with the Saints, he only played in 24 games in the 3 years in New Orleans. So Chris Ivory's always an injury risk, and that scares me. He rushed for 1,000 yards last year, and that was the first time in his career. And he's coming off a career-high 247 carries. Those things, you know, point to me, you know, potential injury in 2016 for Chris Ivory.
Okay. And he's going to be working with a guy who kind of burst on the scene, had a couple of good games. Overall, his numbers weren't huge, but T.J. Yeldon, he's a good complimentary back. And honestly, which one is the lead back for the Jags going into the season? Ivory or Yeldon? Are they going to work in a timeshare, half and half? How do you see that playing out?
Well, I think Jacksonville has said that they're going to run a committee, but I believe Chris Ivory's, you know, first on the depth chart right now, and he should see the primary bulk of the red zone touches. So I think Chris Ivory being an injury risk is going to, you know, lead into T.J. Yeldon having a more effective fantasy season that most of the experts are predicting for him. I think he has low end running back two value, particularly because of his activity on third down and in the pass catching. So I've got him projected at about 600 rushing yards, a couple touchdowns on the ground, and then adding in 300 receiving yards and three receiving touchdowns.
Okay. You also brought up Julius Thomas there for a second. And obviously any touchdown passes from Bortles to him would feed into Bortles' total. I hear you on him possibly taking some touchdowns away from Robinson and Hearns. But on the running back front with Ivory and Yeldon, one quick point. Denard Robinson, he's a non-factor now in the Jaguars' attack?
I think so. Unless an injury occurs. Yeah, he's a non-factor.
Sure. Let's stack up Ivory and Yeldon as a tandem to another running back duo in this division, DeMarco Murray, now in Tennessee, along with last year's Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama, Derrick Henry. Who do you like between the duo of Chris Ivory and Yeldon, or DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry?
I'm going to have to lean DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. I think both of those running backs have a better chance of staying healthy than Ivory and Yeldon. Plus the Titans, they really are wanting to emphasize the run this year. I think they see how running the ball leads to success in the NFL. So DeMarco Murray, obviously he was a bust last season in Philly. Before that though, in 2014, had, you know, led the league in rushing and had a career, you know, season. So, I mean, possibly in Tennessee, you might see, you know, the DeMarco Murray of 2014 a little more, at least, than you last year in Philly. It's going to be tough, though, because, I mean, Derrick Henry's going to steal a lot of that goal line work. I mean, Derrick Henry's a big back.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I think anybody that's seen a picture of Derrick Henry would agree. Derrick Henry's probably going to – I've got him projected at 700 rushing yards and six touchdowns. So I see him, you know, with fantasy flex potential.
Okay. Not obviously they're working with a young quarterback who had a pretty successful, albeit in only 12 games, but a pretty successful first season in the league, Marcus Mariota. All those rushing yards, probably going to take some yards off of him. Last season, he completed 62.2% of his passes for over 2,800 yards and 19 touchdowns, adding in 250 rushing yards with his speed and athletic ability. Is Mariota a sleeper, or are the Titans going to favor the run so much that he's kind of a back-end quarterback anyway?
I think he's still a sleeper, even though they're going to focus on trying to run the ball first. Mariota is still going to be effective. They're going to have to throw. And, I mean, they've got a couple new weapons at wide receiver. So I think Marcus Mariota is definitely a sleeper candidate. I've got him projected at about 3,000 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, and that's a 6-touchdown increase from last season. And then adding in about 400 rushing yards and a couple of touchdowns. So he's got top 10 potential. You know, I think that's his ceiling, though. I can't see him exploding,
Yeah, he's a fringe QB1 in a 12 team standard league. He's probably in that 16 to 20 range in my view. This is a guy you put on your bench, and in the right matchup, you might put him in injury replacement, maybe a bye week guy. That's kind of how we're seeing him, right?
No, yeah, I have him at 19 in my quarterback ranking, so he just is inside the top 20 for me. But he's got that potential to be top 15 borderline QB1.
Yeah, he may be a garbage time specialist.
Oh yeah.
Let's talk about his just for a brief moment here. Let's talk about his leading receiver from last season, and it wasn't a wide receiver. It was tight end Delanie Walker. I think he's probably a clear top five minimum. He's in that 8-9 tight end range. What do you see for Delanie Walker going into drafts?
Oh, I definitely think Delanie Walker is a top five tight end. I have him at 4th in my tight end rankings. Last season, Delanie Walker, he had 1,088 yards on 94 receptions and 6 touchdowns. All 3 of those were career highs. Each of the last 3 years, he's seen an increase in receptions and yards, and that's since he's been in Tennessee. So I think he's going to have a really good season. I've got him projected at 900 receiving yards and 5 touchdowns. So maybe not quite as stellar of a season as 2015, but I still think he's going to give you solid production at the tight end.
Yeah, and Walker's no spring chicken, but let's get into somebody in that passing game who is. Rookie Tajay Sharp out of UMass is getting quite the praise from head coach Mike Mularkey during mini camps and OTAs this month. He was a 5th-round pick. Could he become the Titans' number one target in the passing game? Well, number one wide receiver target in the passing game. And what is his upside going into the season if he does pass guys ahead of him like Kendall Wright or maybe a Dorial Green Beckham?
Well, if you ask any of the coaches in Tennessee right now, I think they'll tell you they think so. He's 6'2", 200 pounds, like you said, out of UMass. Ran a 4.55 40 at the combine. He's already working with the first team alongside Kendall Wright and Rashard Matthews. I think he's got a real shot at keeping Dorial Green Beckham off the field. Green Beckham, with his struggles and with route running at times, and he's just been an inconsistent talent. And I mean, obviously, he has a troubled past, to say the least. I think Tajay Sharp's got a really good chance of edging Dorial Green Beckham out and then, potentially becoming that number one receiver.
Yeah, I don't think it's a stretch at all. I think this guy, if he doesn't start garnering attention, getting into like fantasy football drafts in early, mid-August, wherever you like to set up your drafts, I think he may still fly under the radar. I'm probably going to have my shares of him. Speaking of the guys he's got to pass in the pecking order over there, Kendall Wright, you mentioned Green Beckham, maybe a Harry Douglas. Anybody else, any other targets in the Titans passing game that deserve some attention here going into standard leagues?
Not really in standard leagues. The entire, you know, receiving core as a whole, aside from Delanie Walker and then potentially, you know, Tajae Sharpe, I'm really down on. I think they have a lot of different mouths to feed at wide receiver, and I think they're all going to kind of eat into each other's production unless, you know, like a Tajae Sharpe, you know, steps up, separates himself from the pack. I've got Kendall Wright projected at about 500 receiving yards and 4 touchdowns maybe on the season. So maybe in deeper leagues, might take a stab at him, but not in a standard.
Sounds like we're not really touching any of these guys in shallow or even standard depth leagues. Let's hit on Sharpe a little bit more, and not so much him, but let's compare him to maybe the bigger name rookie out of Notre Dame, 21st overall pick in this year's draft, a 4.32 blazing 40 time at the combine, Will Fuller of the Texans. Give us a comparison on Sharpe and Fuller, and who are you higher on going into the season, and what can Fuller do opposite Hopkins in that Texans passing game?
Well, I'm higher on Sharpe right now. Will Fuller, he has real deep ball speed. He's got the, you know, ability to help stretch that field, and I think that will force defenses to keep their safeties off the line of scrimmage, which in turn will help the Texans' run game, and I think it has a good effect on DeAndre Hopkins' value. As far as Will Fuller's fantasy value, he's just a deep sleeper for me. I don't think that passing offense with Brock Osweiler at quarterback can really facilitate two legitimate weapons at wide receiver. So until I see something from Fuller or even a Braxton Miller, both of those are going to be just deep sleepers for me.
Okay, and that obviously leaves you. I'm thinking where you're going here is that DeAndre Hopkins is still going to see a massive amount of targets, even in double coverages and everything else. He proved last year, I believe, he's fairly quarterback neutral. I like Osweiler, and I think he may actually bump up Hopkins' value, and I know I'm going against the grain from what a lot of people are saying. Hopkins, a repeat of last year, or does he take a step up, or does he fall back down?
DeAndre Hopkins is one of those four receivers that I would take in within the first five picks in the first round of my drafts, or anywhere in the first round. I think Nuke, he'll see less double coverage with Fuller in Houston. He'll probably see less targets this season because of the fact that they do have a couple of new weapons in the passing game. But I think he'll be more efficient with those targets. He had 192 targets in 2015, which led to 1,521 receiving yards on 11 touchdowns. I think he's still going to be around the 1,400 receiving yard mark with 9 touchdowns. So not quite the season he had last year, but I think he's still well worth a first round pick.
All right. Let's bring up that Jacksonville passing game again. And I mean, you're pretty confident Fuller, he's the number two guy in that Texans passing game already.
I think so. I think he is on the depth chart, and I'd be surprised if anybody else, like a Cecil Shorts or somebody, steps up, or even Braxton Miller and passes him. You know, Braxton Miller's just not, he's not polished.
Here, give me a quick answer on this one. Best tandem of wide receivers in this division, DeAndre Hopkins and Will Fuller, or the Allens from Jacksonville, Hearns and Robinson?
Got to go with the Allens, Hearns and Robinson.
Okay. I think the reason for that being is you like both those guys well ahead of Will Fuller.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And Robinson is not too far behind a DeAndre Hopkins. There's a gap, but it's not significant.
Okay. How do you see, I mean, and in that Texans passing game, how do you see Osweiler? I mean, this one's a kind of a head-scratcher to me. I think I'm a bit higher on him after he started seven games for the Super Bowl champs last year. He went 5-2. Now, we all know the Broncos' defense was a huge part of that. This guy completed almost 62% of his passes, almost 2,000 yards, and 10-6 touchdown to INT ratio. What can Osweiler do? I see him in that 18-22 range of QBs. Am I off base there?
No, that's right around the range, right where I see him. I've got him at 21. Not a huge fan of Brock Osweiler this year. I just don't think.
I think
they want to run the ball. Yeah. You know where we're going with this. They want to run the ball in Houston, and run a back by the name of Lamar Miller, who I may or may not be high on, is going to tote the rock quite a bit.
They're not going to put the leg straps on him like the Dolphins did, right?
No, not at all. Free Lamar Miller. It's happening, finally.
You think so, huh?
Oh, yeah. I am high on Lamar Miller. I think Lamar Miller definitely has top five running back potential. I have him at number 6 in my running back rankings. And, he's my breakout player for the year. He was severely under. Oh yeah, late first round.
First pick in a 12 team.
In a 12 team late first round. Yeah, ideally I would like to get him in the second round because I would love to be able to take an Antonio Brown or DeAndre Hopkins or even Julio Jones and come back around in the second round and then be able to get a Lamar Miller. That's best case scenario. Lamar Miller has only had over 200 carries once in his career, and that was in 2014 when he had 216 carries. I think he's going to get a lot more than 216 carries this season in Houston in their heavy run offense. I've got Lamar Miller projected at 1,200 rushing yards, 10 touchdowns on the ground, 400 receiving yards, and adding in 2 touchdowns through the air. I think Lamar Miller is going to be a stud this year.
All right. I think I caught that you'd be willing to go DeAndre Hopkins and Lamar Miller on the same fantasy team.
Maybe not the same fantasy team since they play on the same team. But, I mean, if Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. and Julio Jones are taken and DeAndre Hopkins is still sitting there in the first round, I'm going to be taking him. And then if Lamar Miller is sitting there in the second round, unless – Ezekiel Elliott falls to the second round, which is probably not going to happen, or a David Johnson. Yeah, I'm going to be taking Lamar Miller if he's sitting there over the likes of Devonta Freeman, Doug Martin, Mark Ingram, any of them.
Okay, there's one team we haven't touched on in this AFC South preview. You gave some projections on Lamar Miller. Does he outproduce the entire Colts backfield by himself?
Oh, yes, most definitely. Frank Gore, he started all 16 games and had at least 250 carries in each of his last 5 years. He rushed for 1,100-plus yards every year when he was with the 49ers, but failed to reach 1,000 yards last season with the Colts. His yards per carry dipped below 4 for the first time last season to 3.7 yards per carry. And he's actually never had a season where he didn't fumble the ball. He most of the time has about 2 fumbles a year. So, and Frank Gore might still be productive, but he's going to be more of a flex. I've got him around, I think, maybe 800 rushing yards for the year, 5 touchdowns on the ground, and maybe adding in 100 receiving yards. I'm not high on Frank Gore or the entire running game for the Indianapolis Colts. So, yeah, I definitely think Lamar Miller is going to easily outproduce that entire backfield.
And you could make the argument that Frank Gore was facing some defensive stacks in his face because Andrew Luck was out for quite a bit of time, and maybe teams are just stacking up on the running game. I'm with you. Frank Gore might be about to slam into one of the walls of that dome in Indianapolis, and he's had a great career, deserves plenty of props, but the end is definitely closer than the beginning for him. Speaking of Andrew Luck, kind of a lost season last year. Does he surge right back in to the top five quarterbacks for fantasy purposes after throwing for a whopping 40 touchdowns 2 years ago?
I think so. He comes in at number four on my QB rankings. I got to be honest, I am a little scared. If Andrew Luck, I think he's going to drop in drafts his ADP. So I may end up taking Andrew Luck if he falls, you know, to the sixth, maybe even sometimes seventh round in a standard league. Yeah, like I said, he only played seven games last year. he's a bounce back candidate if he can stay healthy. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with the bounce back. Do you really think he falls to a sixth or seventh? I think that name. And I think how much the Colts will likely rely on him to throw the ball around and people projecting that to be the case for their offense. I really can't see him falling out of a fourth or fifth round in most leagues. Do you see it differently?
Realistically, no. In a couple of mocks that I've done recently, within the last couple of days, Andrew Luck's fallen to the sixth round a couple times, but these are mock drafts in June. So, in our league, sure. He's definitely not falling that far. And in most
leagues,
he probably won't.
Yeah.
Well,
speaking of him, let's talk about the weapons he's working with. What was that?
No, it's fine. Let's move on to the wide receivers.
Yeah, let's talk about the weapons Andrew Luck will be flinging the ball to. The little guy, T.Y., he's still the top man?
Yeah, he's still the number one. He rounds out my top 20 at wide receiver. And I think with Luck bouncing back, staying healthy, T.Y. Hilton could have a very productive season. He had over 1,000 yards receiving in every season, save for his rookie season, 5 touchdowns or more in every season, and only missed 2 games in his entire career, which has been 4 seasons long. I've got him projected at 1,200 receiving yards and 6 touchdowns. So I think he'll have a very productive season.
That put him right in line with his averages from the last couple of years. And let's keep in mind, he put up over 1,100 yards last year, and he was working with, you know, Matt Hasselbeck half the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you see for a Dante Moncrief going into next season? I'm a little down on him, I think. With Andrew Luck throwing the ball, that passing game is going to be more prolific, undoubtedly. What is Moncrief's upside, and is he a wide receiver three in a 12-team standard league?
I think they're going to struggle to run the ball there, so I think Moncrief may have more value than, at least in my opinion, than you. I think he's going to catch about 900 yards and 7 touchdowns. I think he's a low-end number two even in some leagues.
All right. Well, we've talked about in our NFC South preview recently, we talked about Kobe Fleener, our projection for him is in the Saints offense, but that breaks up a tandem that's been in Indianapolis for a few years now, and Dwayne Allen's had his injury issues, but if he can go even 14, maybe 15 games, where does he fall on your tight end board? I'm thinking highly of Dwayne Allen going into this season.
Dwayne Allen comes in at number 18 in my tight end rankings, and it's mainly because of the injury concerns. He hasn't played in 16 games since his rookie year, and he only has 524 yards in his last 3 seasons combined, which is only 3 more yards than his total in his rookie season. With Fleener gone, he does have the potential for more targets, but I've got to see him stay healthy before I risk, you know, taking him earlier than very, very late rounds, at least the double-digit rounds in all leagues.
I I hear you. He's of that maybe high risk, high reward, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. I think he does have an upside, that, but it's just his injury, you know, concerns that really have me hesitant to want to, you know, put any bold projections on Dwayne Allen. So
I hear you on that. And Andrew Luck, like we said, he's going to throw for a lot of yards. That running game is probably not going to do much. They're probably not going to ask him to do much. I want to let that lead right into our flex on, flex off segment. And what we want to do here is dig into some of those deeper 14, 16 team, maybe even more leagues. Let's go with the format of two running backs, three wide receivers, and then adding a flex. Brad, you tell me, flex on or flex off? Second year man, Philip Dorsett in that Colts passing game. Is he ready to emerge, and is he worth your flex spot?
Maybe not to start the season, but as the season progresses, I definitely think flex on. That Colts offense is going to have to throw the ball a lot.
Okay, let's go to another rookie receiver, and this guy, former quarterback turned wide receiver with the Texans, Braxton Miller, flex on or flex off?
Flex off. Braxton Miller has a superior mix of athleticism and smarts and could fill out the slot for the Texans and be an easy catch-and-go outlet for Osweiler while also threatening defenses with his fleet feet, but I don't think that turns into, you know, flex value.
Okay, and another rookie, we hit on him a little bit earlier. I'm pretty sure I know where you're going with this. Derrick Henry, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama, in his rookie year, flex on or flex off? And he might, I mean, you might even have him a little bit above flex.
You can't see me right now, Nate, but I am flexing. Flex on, Derrick Henry.
Probably in the mirror looking at yourself if I know you.
Well, I don't have a mirror in here, but.
Okay, one more from the Jaguars. Tight end Julius Thomas. If you're in that league where you got one tight end, and then you might throw another tight end into your flex, is Julius Thomas worth that spot?
Yes. Flex on for Julius Thomas.
Okay. That guy was a little bit of a disappointment at Jacksonville passing game last year, especially considering how many yards Blake Bortles threw for. Julius Thomas only played 12 games, averaging right at 4 catches for 38 yards. He did get in the end zone 5 times, and I'm thinking you're saying a big jump up in those touchdowns, right?
Yeah, well, maybe not a big jump up. Julius Thomas has been very touchdown dependent in his career. He's actually never had 800 receiving yards. I've got him projected at 800 receiving yards this season and 6 touchdowns. So I think he'll be productive.
Is he, sticking with him, is he a tight end one for you in a 12-team league?
Yes. In a 12-team league, he's a tight end one, but just barely. I've got him ranked 11th in my tight ends right now. So, yeah, in a 12-team, yes, he's a tight end one. 10-team, no.
Yeah, a touchdown machine a couple years in Denver with Peyton Manning. Well, that'll just about wrap things up for here for us in our AFC South preview edition. Brad, why don't you go ahead and provide some low-cost plugs for everything you'll have going on before we come back early next week with some projections for the NFC North?
Well, I've got an article on wide receivers titled The Year of the Wide Receiver that's out on WeTalkFantasySports.com. You guys should check that out. I have my wide receiver rankings 1 through 50 and talk a little bit more about this year and the wide receiver position. I'll also be on the FWO Fantasy World Order show on Blog Talk Radio, and that's on the All In Sports Network on Saturday at 12 noon. His show starts at 10:30, JD, but I'll be on for about 15 to 20 minutes talking wide receivers with JD at 12. So yeah, check me out on We Talk Fantasy Sports and listen in on the FWO Fantasy World Order show.
Cool, cool. A busy man in the fantasy football world. All right. As always, please be sure to hit us with comments, praise, and even insults on Twitter at FantasyFlexPod, as well as our Facebook page. Also, you can now listen to the show at your preference between Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Brad Wallace, sign us out.
May the flex be with you.